trying to come back like prior. I'm trying to combat all my priors. Mortal Kombat, I'm a survivor. I'm living proof that the devil is a liar. He got a silver tongue, but it's gold in my saliva. The Lord decided to hold me to the fire. So you can hold yours, dog, you're preaching to the choir. If I'm the object of your hate, you need to reach a little higher. Street car named Desire, I was yelling Stella. Scared to be alone, I was black and yellow. Couldn't even enjoy the music, I was rocking a cappella. Easy to get lost in the sauce when you're not the mozzarella. Home slice, could I really be born twice? Thought it was science fiction to prosper with long life. Inspired by pain, like watch what I'm going right. Beautiful view, falling from such a bizarre height. But when I touch down, just watch how I'm going spike. Something like punch bowls at prom night. Set the mood, go ahead and lower the lights. Ain't no telling just where we going tonight. Bars, nigga.
Bars.
Oh, man. And we back. This is a big time episode. This is definitely, episode definitely. 10. We in the double digits.
First double digits.
In the double digits. They never thought we'd make it this far, Rich.
To be honest, I didn't even think we'd get like hit this fast. So look, we're pushing out a lot of content.
We're pushing out a lot of content. But I mean, that's, you know, for early podcasts, this is what we have to do. I didn't think we expected to do like 3 episodes a week, but
Get her done.
It's grind and we doing it. Episode 10.
I want y'all to know we literally have full-time jobs.
Yes.
And then posting this content is another full-time job. But you know what? We definitely love it. Definitely having fun doing this. So shout out to the process.
Yeah, this has been a dope experience. And we've gotten a lot of, you know, love and support so far. And met a lot of people. And I don't know. Like you said, I'm having fun. And it makes it a little easier. Can't wait till maybe I get the opportunity to quit that day job.
Ooh.
And do something I love for a change.
We need to put ourselves on the dreamers board. That's what we need to do.
But that's what we did. We had an idea. And we executed. We decided to execute on it. And it's working out so far.
I agree. I'm excited.
Let me check the numbers, Rich. Because I think today, 14 cent. Yeah, boy. 14 cent.
So as you can see, we're not doing it for the money.
I
mean, 14 cent today.
14 cent.
We do it for the love.
Put it in the bank. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, we got to get a...
that's tax on a dollar. That's tax on $2.
Right. It's not even paying for my 1893 over here.
Without the cocaine.
Without the cocaine. Yeah, we need to stop mentioning cocaine. I'm on bail right now. I don't need those problems.
But yeah, we're back again. It's our first double-digit episode, like Flan was saying. So we're pretty excited, pretty hyped. So got a few topics to talk about, and hope you just keep coming back.
Yeah. It's, man, like I said, 10 episodes. I'm surprised we haven't run out of stuff to talk about. But I think the more we do episodes, the more stuff gets spun up.
Whew.
Keep going. So I'm going to start with my rant. And
take it from there.
Yeah, right now, Spectrum / Time Warner, TWC, whatever you want to call yourself these days. I need y'all to make me feel the love. Because I asked you to come out here just to turn the internet on. And now my brand new TV doesn't work. Your guy tried to give me a modem when I told him I already had a modem. I didn't want to pay any modem rental fees. He tells me my modem doesn't work. He leaves. I plug my modem in. We cooking with gas. So I'm really not feeling in love right now, Spectrum. And
that's the ploy. They want you to get that that monthly fee.
Yeah.
Jack that price up because you got to pay that monthly fee. Then you got to pay tax off that monthly fee. Because that monthly fee puts you past a certain dollar, you just all effed up.
I need somebody to address my television situation.
Yeah, that's blown.
That Samsung was looking beautiful. I was having, you know, a good time with that thing. And
Spectrum happened.
Yeah, Spectrum happened. Cut it off for the man to come in and do what he got to do, try to cut it back on. No go. Yeah. Now, you know, in my IT troubleshooting mind, when somebody calls me and say something don't work, I say, when was the last time it worked? Before y'all got here, and what happened in between then and now, y'all got here. Tell me.
Sounds like a foolproof case to me.
Sound like open and shut. But I'm gonna move on from bad customer service, and I'm gonna big up some good customer service and some excellent service I received recently. As we talked about in previous episodes, I was moving. We are recording in the new space now. I'm sure you can still hear the echo. But we moved this weekend, and I have to shout out Aussie Movers. Aussie Movers, check out the website. And the crew that came to help us move, Steve-O, Victor, and David, you know, three hardworking dudes, extremely professional. They showed up early, they grinded, you know, they disassembled and reassembled stuff that we needed, put certain places, never complained about anything, didn't knock over anything, leave any holes in the wall.
No, it was broke.
You know, nothing was broke.
See, that's who you expect to break something. The movers. Not Spectre.
Not Spectre.
We're going to move on from there.
To break something that they didn't even touch. You just coming here causing power fluctuations or whatever. I don't know. You broke it. You need to reimburse me. But Aussie Movers. Aussie Movers. Steve-O, Victor, and David. Really good guys. Like I said, extremely respectful and professional. And they worked hard and quickly, you know. I moved last year from one apartment to the other in the same complex and paid almost twice as much as I paid for them to move me.
Yeah, you know, that's crazy.
You know, a couple miles down the road from an apartment to a house. So yeah, I told those guys before they left, you know, that I would definitely shout them out on my podcast. And we definitely, my wife and I, and Elise, we all appreciate your hard work. We're all settled in over here. I'm recording from the room they moved one of the couches into, you know, so it was a good experience. So there's, you know, that's a little bit of what the yin and yang. I had the bad experience and mm-hmm. I had the good experience. I'm not going to talk about the bad without talking about the good. So no love to Spectrum. Shout out to Aussie Movers.
Definitely. You know what? I had a rant, but I'm going to switch it up because we were having a conversation about this, and this happened to me today, so I'm going to rant about it.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
When people get on an elevator, look at you, say, excuse me, or first of all, before you even get on the elevator, you're standing there,
right,
and the button is lit up. Clearly, I pushed the button. They must be thinking, I mean, maybe it's broken. Maybe if I touch it again, it's going to do something. They jump in front of you, push you out the way, and they hit the button again. Why?
It's because, you know, of all the pictures you see in the hood, you never see elevators. I think they operate under the assumption that we don't know how to use them. And they need to show you. You don't just stand here. You got to press the button. I know you were standing here and the button was lit, but you obviously didn't press it. So let me educate you.
Am I standing here for my help? That's the real question. Why else would I be standing here unless I push the button and I'm waiting for the elevator?
That's your break. You know, you don't get to go to lunch, but you do get to stand in front of elevators.
When I'm crossing the street and the street lights got the little button up there, and people say, "Did you press the button?" Yes. Did you think to press the button? Why would I not think to press the button?
It's too damn hot in Texas to be standing at no intersection and you ain't pressed the button. I ain't standing nowhere wasting time. I made the mistake today of in November thinking I could wear a sweater. And backfired on me.
It just makes no goddamn sense. You know what? Actually, here's another standing in line story. Renee and I went to the movies. Standing in line, you know, waiting for the person to come back. I don't know what you call the person that takes your order and gets your tickets for you or whatever. I don't know the proper term for that. I'm sorry. Sue me. We're waiting, and she steps away. She comes right back, and people walk in behind us. Excuse me. You know, are you in line? Yeah, I'm in the same line that you're in.
Right.
Why would you ask me if I'm in line when I'm standing in line? Clearly, I'm in the damn line. If you're standing behind me in line, ask me if I'm in line. So you're in line behind me. What is wrong with people?
It's those times where I wish like my wit was a little faster. I could come up with a nice, you know, sarcastic response. But I think the anger like blocks it, and I don't get a chance to say.
Like, no, is this the line for the bathroom?
5 minutes later, you always come up with something that you should have said, but it's too late.
When you're waiting to go to the restroom, are you waiting for the bathroom? Yes! I'm in front of the damn bathroom. I just can't. I can't.
But see, so it's either that they think you're stupid and just standing there for no reason, or they have run into a stupid person that was standing there for no reason.
What kind of stupid... You know
so what? Either way, we just need people in general to smarten up. Don't stand in front of shit for no reason. And don't question people who are standing in
front of shit. We need line waiting awareness. That's what we need. Line waiting awareness. Line waiting
etiquette and man code. I don't know. I mean, I guess it should go for women too, but I can't, you know, I can't tell women what to do. That'd get me taken off.
It's, you know, it's never really a guy though. It's always a woman. I've never had a guy say, "Excuse me, are you waiting to use the urinal?"
So no, we make assumptions, and my wife gets on me all the time for like assuming stuff. Like you and I'll talk, and I'll be like, "Yeah, me and Rich going to record this afternoon. Like, is he coming here? Or are you coming?" Well, I assume. Like, we didn't say it. I just assumed he was cutting, you know, like, and that pisses her off that I don't like get exact details.
I mean, there's certain things though. I feel like you don't need 100% clarification for everything.
Yeah.
Because certain assumptions usually are true. Right. Like right now you have a home studio. Something is going on with the security alarm in my place. So I got the little incessant beeping noise every 5 minutes. So I mean, unless we want to beep, keeping count for our conversations, it's just easier to go to your home studio. Plus, I'm coming past here anyway because Renee works down the block.
Nah, so. But I got to get all the information. I got to know, are you coming here? Are you expecting food when you get here? Are you bringing food? If you're bringing food, what kind of food are you bringing? What color shoes you going to be wearing? Are they easy to take off so you don't understand?
I usually come with no expectations. I have no expectation to get fed. I usually actually stop at the store on the way over here. I usually try to order something when I get here because I don't know what I'm in the mood for.
But these are the questions I'm going to get asked. I can't just say, "Hey, Rich is coming." There's like six more questions that I should have asked you before that.
But you know what? Not for nothing. Renee asks me all the time for clarification. I will say, you know, I had this conversation at work and somebody asked me a question. This is what they offered me. And that's all he said. Right. And she'll say, "Okay. So what about this? Or what about that?" Oh. I told you exactly what they told me. I cannot extrapolate. I have nothing.
I guess we care about different things. I remember telling my wife one of our friends was getting married. He told me, you know, he was getting married. And I'm like, "Hey, did you hear? You hear Drake getting married?" And she's like, "Oh, when's the wedding?" I don't know. He told me he was getting. That's all the information I have. I gave it to you all in one quick soundbite. I didn't go back and ask, you know, when is the wedding? Where is it going to be? Where are you registered? He's getting married.
It's different with guys. Feel like that conversation is always going to be different. When I have the information, I'm going to offer the information. Yeah. So if I had the information, like, "Yo, Jared, I'm getting married. It's about to go down June 15th. We about to be at the yacht club. You know what I'm saying? These are our colors. I can't wait.
Yeah.
You about to be my best man." Like, when we have the information, that's how the conversation goes.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know.
I don't know. And to a large extent, I don't care. I guess that's my problem. If you don't give me the information, I assume it wasn't for me to have.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn. I need all of the information. I'll say, "Babe, you know what? I was thinking we should take a vacation together. Maybe somewhere like tropical. Maybe let's go back to Puerto Rico. Let's just go travel." She'll be like, "Okay, when? You're going to fly? You want to fly during the day? You want to fly during the night? Right. What time of year do you want to go? I don't know. Right. I got as far as I want to do something with you."
All right. I gave you all the information.
I don't want to plan out because I don't know if you agree to it yet.
Yeah.
Once you say yes, I'm going to invest some energy. That's how I feel.
So, this makes a good segue into, I said I was going to save this for the next one, but here we are. So why not? We had a topic suggestion about married life and wedding rings and how it changes things for men and women. And I was telling you about that, another way men and women see things differently, that Tammy and I were having a conversation not too long ago. And she told me how when she was single, she had like her grandmother's ring and she would move it to her left hand in certain situations to keep guys from approaching her. And the moment she said that, the first thing that popped in my mind is how some guys will wear a fake wedding ring to get women to approach them. It's like, what is the, what's the rationale? Like, what's the difference in thinking that a man would be, turned off or turned away by the thought that you're taking, whereas that makes you more attractive to women?
What's crazy is that I don't have the answer to that question, but I do know plenty of guys who do wear a ring.
Fake wedding ring.
Yeah, they wear a ring because I. Why does that make men more desirable? It's like, because
women don't want
you'll be single as fuck, yeah. And you will not get a date. You will not get any attention. Nothing. The one day you finally say, you know what? I want to be exclusive to you.
Yeah.
Everybody jumps at the woodwork.
Hey, women don't want you unless somebody else does. You got to prove that you are wanted in order to be wanted. You got to have ID to get ID. Huh? That's how it works. All right, we'll go into that one deeper in the next episode because that didn't know yet. We don't have the answers, but hopefully some people are going to come out that do. So we'll try that one again.
Coming soon. Can't wait.
All right. So I think this brings us to that all important portion of the podcast.
Best part of the podcast.
Rich, what you say?
Well, this is my wake up juice medley cocktail. You know what? I've been drinking this since maybe 2011. And I've never actually thought of a name for this. I don't know why. It just reminds me of...
I got a name for it, Rich.
It reminds me of a cocktail. But basically, whenever I feel tired, whenever I need to pick me up, whenever I need some energy, I usually always grab an energy drink. But I always feel like, damn, that's just some empty calories. And it's usually in the morning. So I'm like, I need to be having breakfast too. And so basically in New York, what I will always do, go to the store, get a Red Bull, get an orange juice. Mix the Red Bull and orange juice. To get my little sausage, egg, and cheese from the cart. Street meat. Boom. Call it a day. But yeah, so what I'm sipping today is my favorite Red Bull and orange juice.
All right, so
with the extra pulp.
I got two names for that cocktail. Name number one, where's the vodka? Name number two, bubble guts. That's what it sounds
like. I knew you were going to say bubble guts.
Because that's what it sounds like.
I've never gotten bubble guts from this, but it's pretty good.
Sounds like bubble guts. Either... Sounds like the vodka is missing, or you heading for disaster. You're heading for self-destruction.
No vodka. Just straight
self-destruction.
OJ extra pulp.
Self-destruction.
Red Bull.
Let's see. So I am sipping my Pepsi 1893 ginger cola again out of my bourbon glass because it makes me feel fancy.
You know what? I think I tried the ginger cola one. Did I like that one?
I actually like this. I like this one better than that. The other one just tastes like Pepsi.
You know what? I don't remember.
They charged me more money for.
I don't remember drinking it straight. I remember mixing it with whiskey.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Every time I had a whiskey, bourbon, rye, like I've mixed it. I've never had it straight. Yeah. But it does taste good mixed.
And then also, now that I have my own space that we can record in and I'm away from babies and breastfeeding women, I can vape freely. Today I'm rocking my Noisy Cricket with the Indestructible RDA on it. This is high level stuff right here.
Why is it called a Noisy Cricket and it's loud as fuck? Quiet as fuck, I should say.
Well, it's small. It takes two 18650 batteries in series. So it's putting out a lot of voltage. So it's small but very powerful.
All right. So wait. Men in Black,
Noisy Cricket.
Yeah. So it's not just me. Does that make me a nerd? Because I know that. See, you're vaping and I'm making Men in Black references.
And it's black. I went with the black on black. Black on black vape.
Black everything.
There you go. Man, it doesn't make you a nerd, Rich. I you know. Well, I guess I keep trying to like not be a nerd.
You're in denial. You're in denial.
Maybe. I forgot what question that was in the nerd card revoked that we all answered. But yeah, I did surprisingly well in that nerd card report.
Yeah, see, you're trying to deny it. You're a nerd. Just embrace the nerddom. Yeah. That's what it is.
We got to do an episode of that. We got to do an episode of Black Card Revoked, and we should do a nerd card.
That game was fun.
Yeah,
game was actually
Cards for All People. We shouting you out, looking for advertisers, sponsorship.
We do need some sponsors. We need more than 14 cents a day.
14 cents though. Hey,
I mean,
that's money that we didn't have when the day started.
Apparently, 14 cents could feed a child overseas, so. What don't work in America.
I need to.
What can you.
Yeah, what are they giving these kids 14 cents a day?
So what's so I'm assuming.
That's if you buy in bulk.
Yeah. That's how I'm thinking. I don't know. You buy a bag of rice. What's 14 cents a bag of rice a day? I don't know, something. I don't know. It's water. For water to be free, it's pretty expensive. It's
pretty expensive. I don't know. All right. That's enough for that one. Let's see where we going next. We'll do some quick sports. We'll do some sports that has some politics mixed in.
Speaking of sports, do you know what I can't believe?
What can't
what
you
I
believe?
Cannot believe? The motherfucking Cowboys.
I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. I don't want to get them no more press than they already getting. I'm a Redskin fan. I don't believe in the Cowboys. You know what? Let me take that back. Because I was thinking about it today. I'm a Redskin fan, so I am not a fan of the Cowboys. But the Cowboys as an organization doesn't really bother me that much. Like, I'm not like I hate the Cowboys. I root against them because I'm a Redskin fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we have a rivalry. But the only real time that I, like, really, you know, hate the Cowboys is during a Redskin-Cowboy game. What I really hate is Cowboy fans.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the organization that bothers me so much. It's the fans. If it wasn't for the fans, I might could get behind, quote-unquote, America's team.
The Cowboys fans, they're excited about this 8-1.
Yeah.
They're acting like the last couple of years just never happened. They've been doing this all along. That's how they're acting.
I mean, I can't say nothing because Redskin fans swear we're going to the Super Bowl every year, but, you know, whatever. But it's hard not to like Dak Prescott. But I have to not like him because these asshole fans. Like, I can't get behind the dude. I can't, like, you know, I can't support him because they asshole fans.
The biggest two fans. Are they listening to this podcast?
Who that? Well, we know Jernigan does.
Are you listening, Jernigan?
I'm sure Jernigan is
listening. They suck. This is luck. They got the luck of the draw. And Rodriguez? I don't even think Rodriguez. He does not listen to this podcast.
No.
I'm going to go to work tomorrow and I'm going to ask him. He doesn't listen. I don't think anybody listens. I don't know.
I'm playing Rodriguez in fantasy football this week. So we'll see. We'll see if he was robbed or if I beat him again. But whatever.
He claims he was robbed. Right. You stole it from him last year. So.
Yeah. Well, he clearly earned last place in the league this year. So.
I don't even know where I'm standing. I looked at my team the other day, and one Sunday, I forgot to switch up my lineup. We were out house hunting, and that one day that I forgot to switch my lineup, I missed so many points. I just fell behind, and I've been playing catch up ever since.
Yeah, I was told that our fantasy football discussions are extremely boring and we should never have to have them again. So I'm not gonna say who said it. It ain't come from me.
I know who said it.
But it's been said that nobody cares. All right, on to something that somebody may care about. And I didn't read the article, so I feel bad about even bringing this up. I don't know if you actually read it or not.
I didn't read it.
If it's even true.
I heard
somewhere Colin Kaepernick says that he didn't vote and that when questioned about it further, he said he didn't vote because it would have been hypocritical for him to vote.
Yeah, and that's all I read. I read the title and I was like, do I even want to know his stance and his views on this right now?
Yeah.
I honestly felt that. That's how I reacted and I kept going.
But, you know, for me, it invalidates the whole thing. Like, now I used to, you know, Tammy and I used to watch the games and kind of, you know, look before the game started to see if anybody was kneeling or if there was, you know, any player continuing the protest. You know, was kind of interested in what was going on with Colin, was happy that, you know, he was starting now, maybe was a little bit more relevant within his own sport for something other than the protest. But now with this, you know, with when you're complaining about injustices in the country and you're complaining about being a member of a forgotten sort of demographic or a demographic that's under attack, and then during the one, you know, moment that we have to make our voices heard or try to exercise some change in some of these arenas, you sit out, Like, to me, it's like, well, what was the point of the kneeling? Like, what was the point? Here was the chance to kind of, like, you know, put people in office that maybe could make some changes, or maybe could, you know, could affect some change toward what was going on in your community. And you set out.
My thing is, why does he feel that would have made him hypocritical?
Yeah, I would have to read the article to see it. To me, is he's hypocritical for not voting. Like, you're not participating. You're not, you didn't do the thing, the actual action that could have had some effect on what was going on. Like, the kneeling is bringing, what do you say? Is bringing eyes to it. Is making people look at the issue. But here was the moment where you could take an action that might have an effect on the actual issue, and you didn't do it. To me, that makes the whole thing hypocritical. And so, yeah, I'm done with it now. I don't.
Yeah, Faith Without Works is dead, and he did all of that, and he had no follow up. And my thing was also, I read several articles that said he was never even registered to vote to begin with. He never registered. He just never registered in California. He's never been registered. Past decade, he's just like been whatever. So he hasn't voted for anything
ever.
So not only would it, I guess, been hypocritical for him to vote, would have been illegal too.
Well, you know, that's the last time you hear me have anything to say about it, because I'm done. I'm good. Whatever, dude. On to something I am interested in. And again, didn't read the article.
It's not gonna happen. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen.
No Pacquiao Mayweather rematch.
Mayweather, do you know what it would take for Mayweather to come back?
Money.
One, it has to be a guaranteed victory for Mayweather. That's not what he has an unblemished record.
You don't think he thinks fighting Pacquiao at this point is a guaranteed victory for him?
You don't think Pacquiao thinks that if Mayweather comes back and he knocks him out, that's a boost for him?
Yeah, I definitely. And I think Mayweather could knock him out. I mean, I think Pacquiao could knock him out.
That last fight was, they were hugging and kissing. That wasn't a fight.
I got to hope that his shoulder was actually hurt, because he was, that was, it was a letdown.
Yeah, they were lawn dancing. That doesn't even count, because,
I mean, that's a Mayweather fight, though. It's a lot of running and a lot of hugging. You know, but that's how he's done it. You can't. I tried to hate on the man, but if you know the rules to the game and you play the game,
well, you can't fight. You know, his fights are grade school romances. No.
Hey, he know it. It feels like the Trump election. If you know the rules, if you know all I need is this one demographic to win, if you know all I need is to avoid getting hit and drop a couple here and there, and you play the game to win, I can't fault you when you win.
I don't think Mayweather will agree to a fight. I don't think he'll agree to a fight. He'll have to. If he did it, it would be under his production company,
of course,
and it'll have to be
Pacquiao has no leverage.
Boatload.
He would have to give up everything to get this.
That fight is going to be like 80-20. Pacquiao not going to get paid. He going to get like bare minimum to take back home to his people. Yeah, and how old is Pacquiao now? Anyway, he's up there.
Them dudes just make me mad, because at one point I was like 145, 150, like many years ago. I never looked like that. I never looked that cut, and now I'm like damn near 200. You know, I still have no muscle. Like, I got no excuse. I always thought I needed to bulk up to get some muscle. I'm as bulky as I need to be at this point.
I need to
stop drinking this 1893.
Yeah. Orange juice giving me hella calories, but it's good though. All right. I don't think that fight's gonna happen. I'm with you.
I wanted it to happen, but it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen.
Ask Google. Is this fight gonna happen?
Let's do it.
You gotta turn it on yet? The Google Home?
Nah, it's not even here. It's still in the apartment. But let's see what regular Google says if I ask it. Is the Mayweather fight going to happen? Nah, it took me to a website. It doesn't even have a response.
Because I knew we were going to talk about it, so I wanted to see if you had it here. Maybe we can play with it, demo it really quick. But I
probably would have brought it. Maybe we'll save it for now.
How are you liking it so far?
I guess... I keep talking about hope. Like, everything is me and hope. So I bought it, you know, on the day they announced it. I pre-ordered it.
Like, so if anybody's lost, really quick.
Okay, yeah. So we went into a little nerddom.
Yeah, so on Google's last announcement, Google's last press, When they released the Pixel, announced the Pixel, they also announced Google Home. And Mr. Flanagan here purchased the Google Home.
Day one. I wanted an Echo. I wanted an Echo for a long time. Didn't quite like that $179 price point. And
I mean, the dock comes in at a cheaper price point, but...
But you have to connect that
to your, and I'm not necessarily a fan of the Echo, the dock little pucks.
And I have a Fire TV, so I got a little experience with Alexa. And, you know, like I said, I wanted an Echo. I wanted an Echo. But then when I heard the Google was working on their own, I was like, yeah, I'll wait for that. And then when they actually announced it, I was like, dope. This sounds, you know, this sounds good. And I still like it. You know, I like it for, you know, being able to sit. You know, I had it in the bedroom on my nightstand, and I could just sit in there and, you know, ask it questions, find out what's going on today, play music, play podcasts, like this podcast right here, which you can find on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, wherever podcasts are played, you can find What Is TWS.
Look us up, whatistws.com.
But yeah, and then, you know, like, you know, here I want to get a Nest so I can control that. Probably the coolest thing I did with it was we had the Nexus player in my daughter's room, and I woke up one morning and she was starting to stir. She hadn't quite started crying yet, and then I actually saw her, you know, stand up on the monitor, so I knew she was awake, and it was only a matter of time before she started crying. And normally we'll let her stay in there and like do her thing until she is like asking for someone to come get her. So before she started crying, you know, in my half sleep stupor, I just rolled over and told Google to turn on Sesame Street on the Nexus player. Sesame Street came on and she was good for another half hour or so. So that was pretty dope that it could do that. But I believe it's Google. Google's all powerful. It's only going to get better. They're only going to add more features and abilities to it. So I'm in on the ground floor. It's not great right now. I'm sure Echo, you know, beats it just because it's been out longer and they got more tie-ins to more things. But
it looks pretty good though. I like the design of the
Google. It's smaller. I hear that the speakers aren't as nice because it's smaller. But it's a good sound. It'll fill up a room, no problem. I found myself keeping it at less than half the volume most of the time, or it was way too loud.
My thing is, I'll probably be pissed off if I'm like in the living room and Google Home is in the bedroom. It's like, do you now have to buy like multiple Google Homes?
Yes, I believe. That was my plan here, was to eventually buy a second one and have one upstairs, have one downstairs. So
I'm assuming the speaker's pretty good, or the mic's pretty good.
The mic's pretty good. Okay. It can hear you from across the room. And unlike the Echo, the Google Homes are kind of aware of each other. So even if one can hear you, even if two can hear you at the same time, the one closest to you will answer.
That's the one.
They both won't try to answer, which is pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
All right, that's enough nerd stuff. Let's get down to the business of this episode.
Brass tacks.
Brass tacks. So this is episode 10. I call it the anniversary episode.
First double digit.
It's not an anniversary or anything. It's not even the same day of the month that we released.
No.
The first one. But it's 10 episodes in, and we've talked about this a lot. I think the question we get asked the most, because it's a strange name for something, is what is the White Pants Society? What is TWS? And I wrote a blog post a while ago, which kind of expressed some of what the mission and the goal I thought the podcast and the blog was. I think it's evolved since then. I think we've
definitely, we just grow more every day.
We're growing more every day. But I guess maybe we should start out with how it became the White Pants Society, like the story behind TWS and the White Pants Society and all that, you know, how we even got to this point. So, I guess and you can just correct me when I fuck up, because I will. It was born out of cultural exchange. We're in the office one day, and what was it? Was it donuts? Was it like a tray of donuts or something?
It was definitely something unhealthy.
Something unhealthy. Anyway, someone comes into our office, and there was a tray. There was no more donuts or whatever it was on the tray. It was just residuals from said donut. And someone walks in the office, and they're like, man, what the hell is this white stuff? And for whatever reason that day, it triggered something in me. Like, what the hell is this white stuff? That's an idea. And so my original idea, which was a little too racially charged, was a website, you know, called like, what the hell is this white stuff? What is that white stuff? And it was more like, because I would have conversations with people at work, and we would talk about stuff like that, like why do you wear shorts and a sweatshirt? How is it ever warm enough to wear shorts but cold enough to wear a sweatshirt? I'm like, that's that white stuff.
And I always remember we were actually in Oak Hill, and we were having lunch one day, the four of us, old school IT crew, and we were eating, and the topic came up about wearing white pants, yeah, after Labor Day, and whether that was socially acceptable or not. And I think for me, in the black culture, African-American culture, everybody always says, no, you can't wear white pants after Labor Day. But clearly, for some people, that doesn't matter. I think that's when, for me, the idea started formulating in my head. You know, well, a lot of things are different for different cultures, and trying to explain those and get people to understand, I think that's when it really began for me.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so that was the original idea. Like, ask those questions, have those conversations that we would have with each other, because I could openly say, hey, you know, my friend who happens to be white, how come white people do this? And he would maybe he could explain it. Maybe he could say, I don't do that. You know, I don't know why you think all white people do that, because I don't do that. Or, and he could ask me a question, and I thought, you know, and it would not just be black and white. You know, we have friends of all ethnicities and races and backgrounds, and it just, you know, to have an open environment where you could ask your questions and you could get a better understanding of why somebody did something.
Exactly.
I give the example of, because when we were doing the IT, a lot of the people we worked with were Indian, and one thing I didn't understand was that whole the head shaking thing. Like, I would say something and they would be agreeing with me but be shaking their head
as if to say no.
And so that would upset me, because I knew I was right. So I'd say something, and they're shaking their head, and I'm seeing no, and I'm getting mad, because I'm like, no, that is true. I know it's true. And then I'm responding, like, with a certain amount of anger, and then that is triggering them off. You know, that's setting them off. Like, why are you getting mad at me? I'm agreeing with you. And so we all of a sudden are in an argument that didn't need to exist, right? Because we just didn't understand. I didn't understand enough about their culture to interpret what they were doing correctly. So it's like, if you can just have that conversation, then, you know, we can get past all that. So that was the whole original idea. So original TWS was not the White Pants Society. It was that white stuff. And because I'm the evil person that I am, it was that white expletive at one point. I curse on the show. I think we got like you sent me that letter today. Like, I feel like there are decent people that are listening now. Now I feel a certain kind of now all of a sudden I feel a certain kind of way about just dropping those terms all over the place. But yeah, if it was that white stuff. Oh, hit the mic. That white shit. You know, I even bought that. I think if you do a who is, no, I think I put the privacy on there so you can't see it as me. If you do a who is on that white shit.com. Uh oh. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Okay. Yeah. Don't know what that was, people. No, tune it out. If you do a who is, you probably won't see me. But if you do a who is on that white stuff, I think you'll see my name, because I own that one.
So anyway, fast forward to today, and it's just grown into, like I said, a cultural exchange. Yeah. And it's rooted in
Yeah. But then the transition from that white stuff to the White Pants Society. So we started actually operating like there was a website. We were working under the idea that we were going to make this podcast, and I think in those early podcasts we actually recorded with what is TWS, just never saying what TWS yes. is, because in our minds it was that white stuff, and we're like, that's too much, like we don't want to push that far. So then we decided we needed to rebrand it a little bit, make it a little more palatable, and we have a friend, I'm sure he doesn't want me to mention his name, so I won't. But in a spirit of cultural exchange, one time I revealed to him that, like a lot of black males my age, I was once a rapper. And once he got this information, he chose to show off his skills as a rapper. And the line he gave, which will forever live in infamy, is you got to wear your white pants while you still got a chance. And I decided that I would never let that
conversation. I remember that conversation. I might have been like the fifth or sixth time I had lunch with you guys. And I'm sitting there and we're eating and all of a sudden, what the fuck are white pants?
You got to wear your white pants. Did I still miss something?
Oh. I'm like, it's got to be an inside joke. And then
snowballed
from there.
And then, yeah, we just started referring to our group as the White Pants Society. And then when we had the idea to rebrand TWS.
Just so happened that it fit.
It fit. And I always tell people, because they ask me, well, shouldn't it be TWPS? You're thinking too hard. Stop. Yeah. Stop. Stop thinking too hard. TWS, the White Pants Society.
Compound word.
That's what it is. All right, I'm sorry, Rich. I interrupted you.
No, I'm just saying white pants, compound word. Yeah. So
don't ask me about the P. Pause.
I mean, if you want to ask him about the P, that's between y'all.
So yeah, fast forward to today. What are we doing today? I think now it is a podcast. The podcast exists. Like I said, we're everywhere.
In conjunction with the website.
It is a website. It's a blog. We post a lot of our articles. We try to give our opinion on what's going on.
Try to be
informative.
Basically, just analyzing the world around us, you know, trying to have a voice and trying to look at it in a little bit of a different type of lens, you know, trying to be culturally aware, trying to analyze what's going on and not necessarily look at it of our traditional point of view, but, you know, speaking with friends and getting feedback and trying to open our minds and analyze things and, you know, be more culturally aware.
Hey, I just like information. I like to know stuff. So if I see something that I don't know, I would like to be in an environment where it's okay to ask a question. I had an uncle who always said, if you don't know, you better ask somebody. if I don't know, I want to be able to ask. I want to feel comfortable enough to ask. But we're branching out even further than that now.
Yes, I think we're just trying to take it one step further. I think this election showed us a lot. You know, it showed us a lot in the world. It showed us where things need to be improved. We were quoting some of the statistics, and I think we looked at something like they said 19% of millennials showed up to vote. And, you know, just talking to a lot of millennials and seeing posts online and things of that nature, I feel like a lot of the world, like, they just feel lost. They feel, a lot of people feel like they don't have support. A lot of people, they just want to, you know, be able to start their own businesses. A lot of people want to be successful, but they don't know how. You know, and I think at the end
we
of the last
15
episode,
cents, Rich.
I think at the end of the last episode, you mentioned, you know, like, we need to start taking a stand. We need to start pooling our resources.
Let's be a dream factory.
The way I interpreted pooling resources and is not just necessarily monetarily, but any type of resource you may have.
Because I ain't got no money.
Yeah, any resource you may have, you know.
I got 15 cents.
You're good at art, you're good at singing, whatever you have, whatever you can contribute to another person, to a group of persons, to your neighborhood, you need to contribute that. So right now, what we have to contribute is our voice.
This platform.
Our platform.
Yeah.
Two things that came out of that, we started talking, and a conversation that we had came up with two brand new spanking ideas. So we have two new sections to the website now. One is... it was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
And that's basically our dream factory, our dreamer spot. You know, if you have an idea or if you're thinking about something or you're trying to get started, you don't know how, come to us. You know, essentially, basically a dream written down with a date as a goal. You know, a goal. Hold on, I'm sorry. This thing started acting up. A goal with some steps is a plan. And a plan backed by action makes your dream come true, creates a reality. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people's dreams come true. We're trying to help make people's dreams a reality. So basically, that's the first thing that came out of this. So we're officially announcing it was all a dream, our dream factory here at the White Pants Society.
Yeah.
Something I'm pretty excited about. We have a few people that are actually... interested so far. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Very dope.
A couple of them happen to be actually millennials, and you know, just saying, you know, they don't know where to start at. I have people reaching out to me, wanting to be audio engineers, people who say they want to be singers, rappers, models, learn website development. So it's like, it's all things that we can help with. You know, we can help put you on the right path, help you, I guess, map out what you want your goal to be, what's your end result, help you map out what your steps are going to be, and then ultimately help you on the course to taking action to make your dream come true.
And then, you know, I just want to say that, you know, by no means do I guess we feel like we're a success or our dream has come true yet. I think it's more of, we had a dream, we had an idea, and we just started executing. And when we started executing, it gained momentum, and we're in the middle of that. Like, we still have a long ways to go.
Yeah, and I think we've been we did that. We had a dream, and we set a goal, and we definitely put a date on it, and we did everything we needed to do to stick to that date. And once we hit that date, we kept going. We set another short term goal, made another list of actions, and we hit that date. Then we hit the next date, then the next day, and the list of actions just keep growing longer every week. We just keep giving ourselves.
We get up every day and say, "What can I do today?
What now?
Yeah, what new thing can I try today?" And I think that's the point. That's what we're trying to say. Like, if you come to us with something, it's not that we know what to do or I have a plan mapped out for you. Like, you tell me you want to be a singer, I can say, "Oh yeah, I got a producer. I'm gonna put you in the studio. You're good." It's just, you want to be a singer? All right. We'll put our energy and our platform behind you. If there's something we can think of to do, if there's something you want to find out, if we can help you find it out, we don't have all the answers. We just have a drive and a willingness to help out anybody who wants help. Anybody who's trying to be something, anybody who's trying to do something, you know, if we will put, you know, our energy and our time into helping you try to do that. You know, I think what we've learned in this process is that if you just start moving, if you can just take that first step and start moving, that those, you know, that step will gain momentum, and you'll make another step and another and another and another, and then you're on the, you know, you're headed that way. I feel like we're headed that way. If we continue to wake up every day and think, you know, in terms of what we can do next to grow and get bigger and to get better, then we'll get to where we want to go. We'll get past 15 cents.
So yeah, definitely. And I think the biggest thing is people just, sometimes it's hard for people to focus, you know, and I appreciate the fact that we're doing this as a team, because my mind runs away from me daily. So I'll be sitting at my desk and I'll have tons of ideas. So the fact that I can just throw my ideas at the wall, see what sticks, shoot them over to Jay Flan, and he can do the same thing. It helps for us to bounce ideas back and forth and keep us focused. He can help me writing up a plan. I can help him writing up a plan. Put that all together, and we'll basically set an action plan up for the next week and see what we're going to do. Set that time frame, hit the mark, and then keep doing it again.
You know, when you have a team with you, and that's what I think that's what we're offering, you know, being that team behind you.
Yeah.
If you have a team with you, sometimes all those steps don't look overwhelming. So now when you look at everything that you have to do to get where you want to be, if you look at all of that at the same time, it can be overwhelming.
And breaking it down into smaller steps.
Breaking it down into smaller steps.
Piece by piece.
And having people that, even if they're not necessarily doing something for you, but if they're the person calling you saying, "Hey, did you submit that application today? Or hey, did you write that post today?" You know, just somebody checking in on you or
that support system.
That support
helps.
System, you know, just having a team with you definitely helps. So if we can be that team, if we can be that for anybody, if we can do anything to help you, just reach out, because we want to help.
And then so the other thing that came out of this was let's connect. So basically, we just want to build a networking hub. You know, you got a business, you got a side hustle, you got a third job, you got skills, you got stuff that you want to advertise. Let us know. We'll throw you up on our Let's Connect page, our networking hub, and just give it your information, your bio, what you're trying to accomplish. We'll throw it on a page. You know, you're a top-notch painter. Cool. You're a photographer. Cool. You want to start doing shows. Cool. Doesn't matter. You're local to Austin. You're in New York. You're in Florida. We don't care. We'll get your information out there. Just, you know, partner with us. Let us know what you want to put out there. We'll feature you on your page. Every time somebody goes to the page and says, "You know what? I need a photographer for a wedding," boom, you're there. They look up your information. That person can contact you directly. They do not have to go through us. They can just pop up on a site and your information is there. They got you.
They're just trying to build, like you said, a support community. Just let's all win together. Let's all win together.
Exactly. It's nothing wrong with cross promotion. It's nothing wrong with helping each other out. It's nothing wrong with, you know, putting people in situations where they might not have otherwise been seen.
I mean, and at the end of the day, I think it boils down to, I'm a nerd and I don't have a lot of friends. And I just want to make friends. I just want people to like me, and I want to like you too.
So yeah, let's connect. Those are two of the conversations that
it takes a village. I mean, any more cliches I could throw out?
It takes a village.
Let's build something. Like, this is, I'd say, the joy of creation. Like, starting with something that didn't exist. You know, this website, this podcast didn't exist, you know, 2 months ago, and now it exists. Like, that feeling of just, you know, making something from nothing, I think it's infectious. So I just want to keep going. What else can we do? What else can we help somebody else? Can we, you know, how can we grow? How can we do something, you know, bigger and better? I think the sky's the limit. When we started this, you know, the thought that came in my head is, like, the only thing that separates me or Rich or any of us from, you know, those people we see on TV or the people we identify as successful is that they had an idea and they did something.
They did it.
Yeah. You know, and that's we just trying to, you know, we're taking those first steps, and if we can help someone else start taking those first steps or piggyback off someone who's a little further ahead that can help us, but we can cross promote for them, you know, let's create that network, let's connect, let's all win together, and change something. You know, we're in a time right now where things could go real left for us. You know, there's some dominoes stacked against us. There's some things in our way right now. But if we link up and create a network, create a community, we're more powerful together. Strength in numbers. So, yeah, I'm using all the cliches. I did strength in numbers. Is there anything else out there? I don't know. Hit me up. Tell me what other cliches I can use. I'll put you on the dreamers page. Oh, man. All right. So, I really hope that explains what it is. Like, What is TWS? What is the White Pants Society? I know it sounds weird. I know even the idea of hearing something say, like, society, you know, I think maybe it conjures the idea of, like, secret societies and being here doing rituals and stuff like that. But that's
nothing secret about it.
Nothing secret about it. We all out there. Anybody can be a member of the White Pants Society. And we encourage you to do so. And that's the other thing I wanted to. Let me shout out Victor again from Aussie Movers. So, yeah, I got a chance to talk to those guys, and I think we've mentioned on the podcast before that we printed out some wristbands. So I've been trying to hand out the wristbands as a promotional material, and so I gave a couple of wristbands to Victor, and as I was telling him the idea for the concept and the idea behind the podcast, he said to me, so what if I'm out and I see somebody else with one of these wristbands, and I see they got the White Pants Society, and I got the White Pants Society. Does that mean that I can ask them the questions I wanted to ask? Like, if they're another ethnicity, or if they're a person who, you know, I have a question for, or do something differently, can I ask them that question? And that to me sounded like the dopest idea ever.
Yeah, that,
like,
in and of itself is why we started
this. So if you have a wristband and that identifies you as a person who's willing to have these conversations and is willing to talk and share and, you know, and try not to get offended and be slow to anger, that would be great. That's what I wanna build. You know, that's what we wanna build. That's what the whole point of this is. So yeah, thank you, Victor, for pointing that out to me, and I hope that people will embrace that. You know, if I can get these wristbands in your hand and you can walk around and it'd just be a representation of the fact that you're willing to talk, that you're willing to try to understand people and to be understood. So yeah, that is the long explanation of what is TWS. It's been done. So I think from now on, I'll just, like, hey, somebody asked me, what is it about? Episode 10. Listen to the episode. I need the numbers anyway. All right, we're closing down soon. Let's see. Random carpool. Let's do it. We got time.
Why not?
All right. Let me pull it up. Sorry. I should have been prepared. But that's me. All right. I took a picture of a card because I've moved and my cards aren't around me. All right. So the card I pulled was, have you ever had an experience that led you to believe in angels or ghosts? Since I read the card, Rich, you have to go first.
Have I ever had an experience that led me to believe in angels or ghosts? I want to say yes. But this is one of my, like, this is one of those things for me. Like, that whole, like, spiritual. So, like, so I'm spiritual to a certain extent. When it comes to, like, ghosts and spirits and all that stuff, like, see, now I'm already looking behind me. I don't know if somebody floating around in here. I don't know what's going on. But I don't know. Like, I feel like there must have been at this point, but it's like, I've never had one of those, oh my God, my cup moved kind of moments.
Yeah. Nah, and I've never had one of those either. I think the way I read it, like you said, is more on like the spirituality level. I feel like my whole life is proof that angels exist. Like, I was telling you that with the movers, you know, my wife and I are getting ready to move, and we bought a whole new bedroom set because we wanted to have a fresh bed because our old bed got too many old souls in it and past relationships and all kinds of things in it. So we wanted to start fresh. So we were, you know, trying to figure out how to get rid of the bed. How do you get rid of a bed and a bed frame and box springs? Like, it just, that seemed like a daunting task. And we hired the movers. We told them to come in. You know, they didn't need to move the bed. Like, we just needed them to move everything else. We were still trying to figure out what to do with the bed. And Steve sees the bed, asks us what we're doing with it. I told him, you know, we were, you know, thinking about trashing it, trying to get rid of it. And he says, you know, he has a neighbor that he just happened to notice that they were sleeping on the floor. And I'm telling him, like, you know, man, it's old, you know, I'm not sure how good that mattress is. And he's just like, you know, there's someone sleeping on the floor. Yeah, old mattress.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like things like that always happen to me where I don't have a plan. I don't know how something is going to work out. And then just through a series of events, you know, I'm either introduced to people who can help me or people who need my help or things like that. And they all work out like the way it was supposed to work out. It's supposed to happen this way. And when I think about all the work that Tammy had to do to get us in here and how we thought we were getting turned away and we fought and found our way into this house, so we would have had to move. You know, it all had to be a part of a larger plan for it to work out like that.
I think that's pretty dope.
You know, God, angels, you know, I know that there's a higher power out there, you know, watching over and sometimes moving the pieces around even when I don't see him. So that's the way I read the question, and that would be my answer. I think
that things happen for a reason. I randomly started working with this company. Like, I don't even know. I don't remember applying for that job. And then I got a phone call and they were like, oh, I was like, oh, okay. And I ended up working that event that segued into something else, And I, by chance, met you, like, lending a hand. Next thing you know, we're working together, and now we're building, almost 2 years later.
It's crazy. We're
building a company. I think, yeah, you never know, how things are going to work out. And I guess in that sense, yeah, I mean, I believe in angel and angelic activity, and I do think that things happen for a reason. You don't know why you cross certain people's paths, but you are one of those people who I'm glad crossed my path, and I think we're doing great things. And
thank you, brother. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the future.
I think we're like, this is, like I said, once again, this is dope. This is just to watch something go from a weird comment somebody made when they walked into a room to, you know, it almost seems like it has a life of its own now. Like, it's a living, breathing thing, and every day something, we're meeting somebody or we're making a connection somewhere, and it's not all like business. Sometimes it's just, you know, like, just meeting dope people and and being able to help people personally or being helped by someone.
Exactly.
You know, just through this entity, you know, just by, like I said, just by taking a step, by waking up and deciding today, I'm not going to talk about starting a podcast. I'm going to make the first step toward starting a podcast.
And just do it. Just jump. And that's the biggest thing for me. We were having conversation after conversation. Then it was like, you know what? We're not going to be any more prepared tomorrow than we are right now.
Get a mic.
Experience is the best teacher.
Let's do it. Let's get us off some software and let's start talking. See what happens.
And ever since then, every week we've been just investing in ourselves.
Yeah, investing in yourself. I believe in that. Yeah. So, yeah, again, people, we have no idea what we're doing, but we're doing it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for the people who've unliked our Facebook page over the last couple months. I still love you. Thank you for Trump for winning the election and giving us a lot to talk about. And maybe some added motivation and inspiration to move forward and to grow and then to pull more people in. Everything happens for a reason. Let's keep going.
Definitely. Like I said before,
it was all a dream.
We do it for the love.
Do it for the love. Episode 10. We made it this far. Let's keep going.
Peace.
Peace.